Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. One of my favorite scenes from the classic Hollywood film, The Wizard of Oz, is when Dorothy and her three new friends, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Lion, all appear before the great and powerful Oz for the first time. I remember watching that as a child, and I think I felt a little bit like the four of those characters did when they first appeared before the great and powerful Oz. I was scared when I watched it. And if you remember, he was a pretty scary character with his big booming voice and a very large green head floating above that flaming altar and fire and smoke and such spitting up everywhere. I don't know about you, but I would not have wanted to go to him to ask for any help any more than did Dorothy and her three friends. I always kind of imagine that the character and nature of the great and powerful Oz is reflective of how most folks outside the Christian faith, that is, envision God. I think many people, if they believe in God at all, regardless of what name they call him by, picture him as this larger-than-life, angry, powerful, demanding presence. And that's borne out by the way the various people throughout the world in the various world religions describe their deities. Whether that deity goes by the name Zeus, or Allah, or Baal, or whomever. And thus is seen in each of these religions, which these gods represent, a sincere desire among the people to appease these deities for fear of reprisal. It was not uncommon in the Baal cults for parents to offer up their children as burnt sacrifices to, again, appease Baal's great anger. Even the Jews feared their god, Yahweh. And while they never went to the extremes of offering their children as burnt sacrifices to Yahweh, they did believe that they had better offer up their livestock and their produce as sacrifices to him if they wanted to appease his wrath. After all, they knew what he was capable of. They had seen him turn the Nile River into blood. They had seen him rain down fire from heaven. They had seen him divide the waters of the Red Sea. And also, through his servant Moses, he had warned his people that he was a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate him. And so with all of that in mind, we arrive at the radical words of our Lord Jesus this evening in our text as he gives us the words of the Lord's Prayer, as he teaches the disciples how it is that they are to address Yahweh, the great creator God of the earth, as they come to him in prayer. And Jesus said, "When you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven." I call those words radical because there is no way prior to this event, prior to Jesus giving them these words, that any God-fearing Jew would ever address Yahweh as his Father. Think about it for a moment. If merely saying the name Yahweh out loud was considered blasphemy among the Jews, a crime worthy of death, imagine the consequence for claiming to have a familial relationship with God. Such a claim would not only be a blasphemy, it would be a heresy. And thus it simply was not done. Until Jesus changed things. He changed our view of God because he changed our relationship with God. Through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, he satisfied God's wrath and God's justice toward us. So now when God looks at us, he sees only his forgiven and his redeemed children. And thus, through faith in Christ, we become God's children. John wrote in his gospel concerning Jesus, he said, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And St. Paul wrote in Galatians 3, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And so it is that Jesus changed our view of and our relationship with the Almighty God, creator of the universe. No longer are we to view him as an angry authority up there just waiting for us to make a mistake and to strike us. Nor should we approach him with fear and trepidation. But now we are to call upon him often. We are to speak to him as children speak to their beloved father. Or in the words of Martin Luther, I quote from the Catechism, with those words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children ask their dear father. What a blessing. What a gift. That not only should we be called children of God, but that we should be treated as children of God with all of the child's rights and privileges and blessings. And all of this is ours, again, because of Jesus. Because he paid for our sin. And he claimed us for God. May we thus approach God's throne of grace with confidence, knowing that our loving Father is waiting and he is anxious to hear from us his forgiven and his dearly loved children. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.